Welcome, listeners. This is Karen, coming to you from the Talking Information Center, and I will be reading for you The Enterprise for Friday, June 17, 2022. We'll start with the front page and the lead story. ZBA shoots down housing plan. The Brockton Zoning Board of Appeals rejected a variance that would have allowed two houses to be built on Bellevue Avenue after dozens of residents appeared before the board Tuesday night to oppose the project. Rockwood Realty Trust, a Pembroke-based realty company, is proposing to build four houses in a wooded area off Bellevue Avenue near Ridge Street, where a spring and well are located. They also plan to extend Ridge Street and add a cul-de-sac at the end of Arthur Street. While two of the lots would be located on the proposed Arthur Street cul-de-sac, Rockwood sought approval from the ZBA to connect the other two proposed houses to Bellevue Avenue. At least 30 residents from Ridge Street, Bellevue Avenue, and other surrounding roads attended the meeting Tuesday night to object to the project. One by one, residents stood at the podium and expressed their concerns to the board. Would capping the spring lead to flooding? The majority of the residents expressed concern that the company will need to cap the spring in order to build the homes, which they said could raise water levels in the area even further. Many homeowners, even those on the opposite side of Ridge Street from the property, said their basements and yards have flooded over the years due to the high water table caused by the spring, and capping the spring will exacerbate the issue. Chairman of Board Kenneth Galligan, who was the only member that voted in favor of Rockwood, said that residents did not prove the flooding was caused by the spring and said it could have been caused by other issues. Before coming before the ZBA, Rockwood had not sought to decommission the well and not received approval from the Brockton Conservation Commission to build on the land, steps they planned to complete after getting approval from the Zoning Board. Other board members, particularly Steve Lanas, suggested the company get that matter cleared up before returning to the Zoning Board for approval. Since the company already received approval from the Planning Board for the whole project, and since two of the lots already comply with the zoning ordinance, the goal of the meeting was to grant Rockwood relief from frontage on two of the four proposed lots. A representative from Rockwood said that while the residents' concerns may be valid, the reason for this meeting was to allow or deny Rockwood to connect the proposed homes to the street, and the residents' arguments were irrelevant, having nothing to do with zoning. Still, many residents of the neighborhood expressed opposition to the entire plan. Galligan received letters from at least six homeowners in the area, urging the board to vote against Rockwood. City Councilor-at-Large Winthrop Farwell and Ward 1 City Councilor Thomas Minciello attended a meeting in support of the residents. "Just because we can doesn't mean we should," Lena said, of approving zoning relief. The wetland area contains walking paths and various wildlife, including deer, fox, and bunnies, and residents worry that the project will displace the animals and eliminate the green space. Some residents also worry that extending Ridge Street will invite more traffic into an area where drivers often go too fast. The board denied the proposal, voting 1-4 against Rockwood, receiving applause from the residents in attendance. Other voting board members included Fire Chief Brian Nardelli, James Sweeney, and Orlando Spinola. Following the case, residents convened in the lobby of City Hall, cheering, high-fiving, hugging, and some saying, "We won." And the other story from the front page. Southeastern Regional Class of 2022 Senior Spotlights. Southeastern Regional Vocational Technical High School held its graduation ceremony on Wednesday, June 8th. Southeastern's Senior Spotlights are chosen based on their high academic and vocational achievement. Seniors are selected from each of the nine towns Southeastern serves and are highlighted prior to graduation. The following biographies were submitted by Southeastern Regional Vocational Technical High School. Bianca Pierce from Brockton. Bianca Pierce of Brockton is a student in the Natural and Life Sciences Vocational Program. Pierce did not expect to join Natural and Life Sciences when starting school at Southeastern, and at first wanted to join the Video and Performing Arts Program. However, when she went through the exploratory period for the program, she didn't enjoy it as much as she expected. She decided to join Natural and Life Sciences after the exploratory period. Pies notes that joining Natural and Life Sciences was the best decision she made and could have made, since she made so many friends with those in the program, becoming her second family. She also explains that being in a learning environment where the teachers are supportive and your friends are like family, you are bound to succeed and surpass limits, which I did. Pierce's favorite experience from her vocational work was during her freshman year in the natural side of the program. The students went on trips to ponds or streams and sampled for insects or microinvertebrates. They would collect them and then survey them as a class. She enjoyed the process of gathering materials, hiking to the site and beginning to sample. Getting into the water with waders was one of her favorite and most memorable experiences. She explains that the hands-on work made her feel like a scientist. During her time at Southeastern, Pierce has also been involved in National Honor Society, has peer-tutored biology, and works part-time at Flynn's Family Farm in Easton. Pierce plans to attend Michigan State University to study environmental science biology. She plans to become a marine biologist. Her advice for freshmen is, take any opportunity you can. You are young and gaining experience is important, especially if it's something you're not sure about or are nervous about doing. Even more reason to get involved in a club or activity or something out of your comfort zone. I learned that doing things I was afraid of doing was always worth it, and if I didn't, I was regretful. So always make an effort to do something out of your comfort zone or something new in general. Our next senior, Piper Culp of East Bridgewater, is a student in the Natural and Life Sciences Vocational Program. Culp chose her vocation because she wanted to be part of the solution to climate change. Science is also one of her favorite academic subjects, which encouraged her to pursue it vocationally. She also explained that she has always loved and appreciated nature, which was a big part of the vocation that science helped people and the world, and she wants to be someone who helped. Culp's favorite experience from the program is sampling in Black Brook, a brook behind the school for microinvertebrates. Students hiked to the Black Brook site, put on waders, and used nets to catch macroinvertebrates. They went back to the school then to identify what they'd caught and use that information to help determine how healthy the brook was. She also has great memories of learning about beekeeping and has found the lab work to be beneficial to her current internship at the Massasoit STEM Research Lab, where she researches wild bees and other pollinators. Culp has been involved in the National Honor Society, math team, and beekeeping. She has also participated in the Massachusetts Science Center Fair and received an honorable mention at regionals her sophomore year. She participates in early high school college with Massasoit Community College and has earned an associate liberal arts transfer degree. She has been named to Southeastern's high honors list all 4 years and the dean's list at Massasoit each semester. She holds a 4.556 GPA at Southeastern and a 3.98 at Massasoit. She was one of the state nominees for the U.S. Presidential Scholars for Massachusetts and received an Outstanding Vocational Technical Student Award from the Massachusetts Association of Vocational Administrators. In her free time, she enjoys playing Dungeons and Dragons with her friends and going on hikes. She plans to attend Brandeis University and explore her interest in biology or environmental studies. Her advice to freshmen is get involved, whether it be projects at home or after-school activities. Just get involved in something. You meet so many great people and opportunities that way. Our next student, Benny Eng of Easton. Benny Eng of Easton is a senior in the advertising and design program. Eng chose the program because he has an interest in graphic designs and all things creative, including photography and filmmaking. Eng enjoyed the advertising and design program because of the hands-on experience, as well as his teachers and classmates. His favorite work in the program has been the live jobs, which are orders that students make or design for community members, giving them real-world experience with getting and fulfilling clients' requests. Eng's favorite job was designing the logo and banners for Southeastern's Performing Arts Center, which opened earlier this year. Eng designed the logo and collaborated with a classmate on the banners. After completing the design, Eng presented his logo to Superintendent Louise Lopes and other administrators, where he showcased the Lego with an animation. Eng enjoyed the shop because of all the equipment and programs he is able to use and learn about, including various design programs, machines, printers, and other resources for graphic designs, photography and photo editing, video editing, animation, 3D printing, laser cutting, embroidery, and more. Aside from the live jobs and schoolwork, Eng also says that his classmates make going to school enjoyable, noting that his class has gotten really close over the years, and it feels like a family, including teachers like Mrs. Enos, Mrs. Massey, and Mrs. Kelleher. Eng values the storytelling aspect of art, explaining that he believes no matter what medium of art or type of art it is, it tells a story. For his senior project, he made a documentary about cystic fibrosis. He wanted to use his skills to tell the story of a friend who has cystic fibrosis, to show what her life is like living with the disease and how it affects her. Eng says, no matter what type of art I do, I wanted to tell a story and have a purpose. In this case, the purpose of making the documentary was to bring to light the struggles of living with cystic fibrosis in order to spread an awareness to fight against this disease. He also plans on releasing the full documentary on YouTube once it is complete. Eng played varsity soccer, a sport he has also been involved in since he was 5 years old. He served as one of the captains his senior year, and the team enjoyed a winning streak during the season where they were one win away from making the playoffs. However, the last games were canceled due to weather. Eng believes that his experiences playing soccer have helped him grow his leadership skills and allowed him to form friendships. He is also thankful to the coaches Sanchez and Callahan for believing in him, saying, "I have always been a quieter person, so I was hesitant about running for captain. But my coaches handpicked me to be one of the captains and encouraged me to grow as a leader." Turning now to the stories from the paper. Our first story. EPA, forever chemical use is risky. The Environmental Protection Agency is warning that two non-stick and stain-resistant compounds found in drinking water pose health risks even at levels so low they cannot currently be detected. The two compounds, known as PFOA and PFOS, have been voluntarily phased out by U.S. manufacturers, but there are a limited number of ongoing uses in chemicals that remain in the environment because they don't degrade over time. The compounds are part of a large cluster of forever chemicals, known as PFAS, that have been used in consumer products and industry since the 1940s. The EPA on Wednesday issued non-binding health advisories that set health risk thresholds for PFOA and PFOS to near zero, replacing 2016 guidelines that had set them at 70 parts per trillion. The chemicals are found in products including cardboard packaging, carpets, and firefighting foam. At the same time, the energy is inviting states and territories to apply for $1 billion under the bipartisan infrastructure law to address PFAS and other contaminants in drinking water. Money can be used for technical assistance, water quality testing, contractor training, and installation of centralized treatment, officials said. Several states have set their own drinking water limits to address PFAS contamination that are far tougher than the federal guidance. The toxic industrial compounds are associated with serious health conditions, including cancer and reduced birth weight. People on the front lines of PFAS contamination have suffered for far too long, EPA Administrator Michael Regan said in a statement. That's why EPA is taking aggressive action as part of a whole-of-government approach to prevent these chemicals from entering the environment and to help protect concerned families from this pervasive challenge. PFAA is short for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, which are used in nonstick frying pans, water-repellent sports gear, stain-resistant rugs, cosmetics, and countless other consumer products. The chemical bonds are so strong that they don't degrade or do so only slowly in the environment and remain in a person's bloodstream indefinitely. The revised health guidelines are based on new science and consider lifetime exposure to the chemicals, the EPA said. Officials are no longer confident the PFAS levels allowed under the 2016 guidelines do not have adverse health impacts. While the new guidelines set acceptable risks below levels that can currently be measured, as a practical matter, EPA recommends that utilities take action against the chemicals when they reach levels that can be measured. Currently, about 4 parts per trillion, a senior administration official told reporters on Tuesday night. The EPA said it expects to propose national drinking water regulations for PFOA and PFOS later this year, with a final rule expected in 2023. In a related development, the EPA said that for the first time, it is issuing final health advisory for 2 chemicals that are considered replacements for PFOA and PFOS. One group is known as Gen X chemicals, while the other is known as PFBS. Health advisories for Gen X chemicals were set at 10 parts per trillion, while PFBS was set at 2,000 parts per trillion. The agency said the new advisories provide technical information that federal, state, and local agencies can use to inform actions to address PFAS in drinking water, including water quality monitoring, use of filters, and other technologies that reduce PFAS and strategies to reduce exposure to the substances. Environmental and public health groups hail the action as a good step. Advocates have long urged action on PFAS after thousands of communities detected the chemicals in their water. PFAS chemicals have been confirmed at nearly 400 military installations, according to the Environmental Working Group, a research and advocacy organization. EPA had the courage to follow the science. This is a step in the right direction, said Stell Bailey, co-facilitator of National PFAS Contamination Coalition. The science is clear. These chemicals are shockingly toxic at extremely low doses, added Eric Olson, Senior Strategy Health Director for Health and Food at the National Resources Defense Council. He called on the EPA to regulate all PFAS chemicals with enforceable standards as a single class of chemicals. Melanie Benesch, legislative attorney for the Environmental Working Group, said the EPA's announcement should set off alarm bells for consumers and regulators alike. She urged the EPA to move much faster to dramatically reduce exposure to these toxic chemicals. The EWG estimates that more than 200 million Americans are drinking water contaminated with PFAS. The American Chemistry Council, which represents major chemical companies, could not immediately be reached for comment Wednesday. The group has said it supports strong science-based regulation of chemicals, including PFAS. Legislation passed by the House would set a national drinking standard for PFAS and direct the EPA to develop discharge limits for a range of industries suspected of releasing PFAS into the water. The bill has stalled in the Senate. The science is clear. These chemicals are shockingly toxic. We need to do something. In world news, European leaders pledge arms. EU path in Ukraine visit. The leaders of four European Union nations visited Ukraine on Thursday, vowing to back Kiev's bid to become an official candidate to join the bloc in a high-profile show of support for the country fending off a Russian invasion. French President Emmanuel Macron also promised Ukraine six more powerful truck-mounted artillery guns, the latest in a new round of Western arms pledges for Ukraine as the war grinds on in the eastern Donbas region. The leaders are doing everything so that Ukraine alone can decide its fate, Macron said at a news conference. In the face of Kiev's fears that Western resolve to help it could wane, the visit by Macron and the leaders of Germany and Italy carried heavy symbolic weight. The three Western European powers have faced criticism for continuing to engage with Russian President Vladimir Putin and failing to provide Ukraine with the scale of weaponry that it is said is necessary to fend off the Russians. Romania's president also made the journey. After arriving in Kiev to the sound of air raid sirens, the leaders headed to Irpin, a suburb of the capital that was the scene of intense fighting early in the war, where many civilians were killed. They decry the destruction there. While shocking images of such devastation have rallied Western support, officials in Ukraine have expressed fears that war fatigue could eventually erode that, particularly as rising prices and upcoming elections in the United States are increasingly dominating people's concerns. The U.S. and its European allies have given billions of dollars in weaponry to Ukraine, and Germany and the U.S. recently announced new arms shipments. Such arms have been key to the country's surprising success in preventing the Russians from taking the capital, but officials in Kiev have said that much more will be needed if they are to drive Moscow's forces out. Many in Ukraine hope that the leaders' visits could mark a turning point by opening the way to significant new arms supplies, and it also comes as European leaders prepare to make a decision next week on Ukraine's request to become a candidate for membership in the bloc. European allies have sent increasingly muscular weapons and rallied around Ukraine more than expected, approving wave after wave of unprecedented sanctions against Russia that are badly squeezing Europe's economy. But Ukrainians say more is needed as Russian forces pressing their offensive in the eastern Donbas region slowly but steadily gaining ground on the badly outmanned and outgunned Ukrainian forces. While hopes were high for the visit, there was also skepticism. Governor Serhiy Heidel of Luhansk, which is also part of the Donbas, said the visit would not yield progress if the leaders ask Ukraine to sign a peace treaty with Russia that involves giving up territory. I am sure that our president, Volodymyr Zelensky, is not going to make concessions and trade our territories. If someone wants to stop Russia by giving them territories, Germany has Bavaria, Italy has Tuscany, the French can concede Provence, for instance, he said. Today it will be one territory, tomorrow another, the day after tomorrow another. While visiting Irpin, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz observed that officials must keep the horrible scenes of destruction in mind. Innocent civilians have been hit, houses have been destroyed, a whole town has been destroyed in which there was no military infrastructure at all. And that says a great deal about the brutality of the Russian war of aggression, which is simply out for destruction and conquest. We must bear that in mind in everything that we decide. Macron, Scholz, and Draghi, representing the three largest economies in the European Union, traveled to Kiev together on a special overnight train provided by the Ukrainian authorities. They had been criticized for not visiting Kiev sooner. After viewing Erpin, President Klaus Ioannis of Romania, wrote on Twitter that there are no words to describe the unimaginable human tragedy and horrible destruction, and called for all Russian perpetrators to be held responsible by the international criminal justice system. In Ukraine, Macron responded to criticism of France's response, including his recent comment that Russia shouldn't be humiliated, which deeply angered Ukrainians. He insisted that France has been at Ukraine's side since the first day. Germany on Wednesday announced that it will provide Ukraine with three multiple launch rocket systems of the kind that Kiev said it is urgently needing. And Scholz had long resisted traveling to Kiev, saying he didn't want to join the queue of people who do a quick in-and-out for a photo opportunity. Instead, he said a trip should focus on doing concrete things. With this article, I'll close my broadcast for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.